Voyage.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to this edition of Scumbags of History with your host Brittany Schmidt and the team Stewart.
I'm talking about scumbags of history. Talking about these people suck ass. They were pieces of shit. They still pieces of shit. Scumbags of history. Scumbags of history.
Mother Teresa, Dr. Seuss, Gandhi, is it possible that these enlightened historical figures were total scumbags? That's what we are trying to decide on Scumbags of History, where we pick through the dirty underwear pile of the lesser known facts about some of the famous people society has put on a pedestal. We are your hosts, confirmed scumbags, Brittany Schmidt.
Mateen Stewart.
We are comedians, not historians. Nope. So we're probably going to get stuff wrong from time to time. So don't use us as a reference in your paper.
Hell no.
Let's get started. Okay, today we're talking about a fucking daddy. I don't know if he was an actual father, but I just think of him as a daddy. He is...
Who are we talking about?
The father of my heart, Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill. Sure, he gave a lot of great speeches, but as good as he was at inspiring the British people, he was just as good at ignoring a famine where 3 million people died.
What?
Light work. And having an affair with Cara Delevingne's great aunt. I wonder if she was a fox, probably. Or did he? This is the one time where almost every negative thing you can find about the guy is in dispute.
Oh.
So AKA he didn't do it. So he got away with it.
So that means he definitely did it.
He was Slytherin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Sir Winston Churchill.
Sir Winston.
Yeah.
Like, did I not say that?
No, you didn't, but he's a sir like Elton John is a sir. Not a saint. Not okay. A saint like Mother Teresa.
So there's a giant asterisk. How do we say that word?
Asterisk. Yeah.
Over this entire episode. Okay, tell me what you know about Churchy. Churchy Wurchy.
Old Churchill.
Old Churchy. Churchy.
I know he's British.
Okay, good start.
I know he's a big dude.
Yeah.
He was a prime minister of England, of the United Kingdom, during, I know, World War II. I don't know if he was during World War I. And yeah, he's like one of those figures that you know, like he's like,
yeah, he gave bomb ass speeches,
prominent,
and drank a lot.
Yeah,
he like drank and fucking
hung out with FDR. Was like boys with FDR.
Yeah, and
gang, and probably was hanging out with the Queen at some point.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, he was right there.
Sure. They're right next door.
Yeah, they're right next door. But
yeah,
he's prime minister. I really don't know much. He has a dope ass name though.
Winston, so good.
It might be the most British name ever.
Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill.
I remember like back in the day with Facebook walls, you could put quotes up there.
Mm-hmm.
I had so many Winston Churchill quotes.
That's one of them.
I don't remember. Yeah. I was drunk, which is why I resonated. Anyway, okay. So I'll fill you in on everything you don't know about him.
Let's hear it.
Winston, Winnie Winnie, came from a long line of English aristocrat politicians. His father, Lord Randolph Churchill.
He's a Nepo baby.
He's a Nepo baby. I wish I was a Nepo baby. People say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I wish I was a Nepo baby. Shit.
Yeah. Was descended from the first Duke of Marlborough. I wonder if that's related in relation to the cigarettes.
Probably.
And was himself a well-known figure in Tory politics in the 1870s and 1880s. His mother, born Jenny Jerome, was an American heiress whose father... Oh, so his mom's American.
He's American.
Yeah, he's part mixed. American. He's a mutt.
I didn't know that.
Was a stock speculator and part owner of the New York Times. Double Nepo, baby.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
He just got money.
Yeah.
More money. More money. More money.
Rich American girls like Jerome who married European noblemen were known as dollar princesses.
Dollar princesses. Like, instead of gold diggers?
Yeah, gold digglers.
Gold digglers. I'm going to call them gold digglers from now on.
But she had money. She probably had more money than him. So that doesn't make sense. The New York daddy owns New York Times. You got fucking bread.
Yeah, you got money.
You got money. All right. Churchill was born at the family's estate near Oxford in November 30th, 1874. I should run his chart and see if we were compatible.
Mm. oh, my God. That is.
I'm going to need a time of birth.
Oh, my God.
To see if we could fuck. I run everybody's charts.
I know you do. I could tell.
By the way, I know you. Insane. Yeah. Okay. He was
edgy. Chart running Brittany.
Chart running hell. I'm an astrological gangbanger. Yeah.
She's a dollar princess.
I am with no money, with no dollars. Okay. He was educated at Harrow Prep School, where he performed so poorly that he did not even bother to apply to Oxford or Cambridge. Instead, he's a dumb, not dumb, just doesn't like school. Some people are smart and they don't fuck with school.
Well, most of our scumbags, like, who made all their most money were not school people.
Yeah. Educated. Yeah. Well, they're whatever. Anyway. Yeah. So he headed off to military school and then at the Royal Military Academy at Sandhurst. After he left Sandhurst, Churchill traveled all around the British Empire as a soldier and as a journalist. And in 1896, he went to India, and his first book was published in 1898, was an account of his experiences in India's northwest frontier province.
So okay. he went to go fuck shit up in India.
He went to go fuck shit up. He probably just got drunk in India.
And was banging.
Ate curry and fucked bitches and wrote about it.
Banging Indian.
Yeah.
Indian women.
Yeah.
And just like, I'm gonna write a book.
I'm gonna write a book.
Pip, pip.
In 1899, the London Morning Post sent him to cover the Boer War in South Africa, but he was captured by enemy soldiers.
What year?
Almost as soon as he arrived. 1899.
Oh.
Crazy.
He probably there was with our other scumbag, Mahatma Gandhi.
Yeah.
Mahatma Gandhi was in South Africa.
You think, you think they were.
They probably crossed paths.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Never know. So he was captured immediately. Love that for us. So maybe he wasn't hanging out with Gandhi if he was immediately captured. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe Gandhi, like, refused to eat a sandwich to get him free. He's like, you know what? I'm going to sit lunch out if you free him.
If you free my boy. Yeah. Oh, Winnie Church.
Oh, Winnie Church. News of Churchill's daring escape through a bathroom window made him a minor celebrity back home in Britain. But he didn't want to be a minor celebrity.
He wanted to be a major celebrity.
He wanted to be a big dog.
He wanted to be a
baller. By the time he returned to England in 1900, the 26 years... Okay, so he's 26. He's doing a lot more than I did at 26.
Wow. Yeah.
I escaped from, like, frat houses. You
made it out alive of a frat house.
Yeah. I remember one time a college party was getting busted and the cops came up. They're like, if you're over 21, come give me your ID. And I was so cocky. I had a fake ID. It looked nothing like you. Me.
Oh, my God.
And I walk up and I give it to him and I'm like, here. And he's just like, if you have a fake ID, don't give it to me. You're going to get more fines. And I like, he like sat me down. He's like, I'll deal with you in a second. And I beelined it.
You ran.
I was in 6-inch heels. I fucking beelined it. I jumped out of the 3rd-story window.
Oh my God.
Into a bush and I ran away. And I consider that a victory. Yeah, so what the fuck does Churchill have on me?
You ran for the police.
As he jumped out of a window in heels. I don't think so.
This to be a fly on the wall. Just at Marquette University.
They should have a statue.
I know they should. Just you peeing outside.
Me squatting in a bush.
Yeah. This is where Brittany's...
I was talking about that with one of the basketball players the other day. They're like, there should be a statue of you outside the gym, outside of the Al McGuire Center. They're like, you are the ultimate...
Holes were filled.
The ultimate sixth man. Yeah. Okay, we just went down to... All of our viewers are going to be like, what are they talking about?
No, this is why we're here.
Just filling in some gaps. I went to Marquette and I was a whore.
And she escaped the police.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
And I ran from the cops a lot.
You've been more arrested more than me.
I've only been arrested once.
Yeah. That's more than me.
I literally remember being in court when I was getting arrested for my DUI, being like, do they not see that I'm white? What? I have no priors. I am white.
And I'm pretty.
Where's my privilege? that I heard about. I got the book thrown at me. I had to go to jail for 30 days. Okay, anyway, so back to Winnie. Winnie Church. Okay, so
also he went to jail and escaped.
He jumped out of a window. Yeah, he escaped. I didn't escape. By the time he returned to England in 1900, the 26-year-old Churchill had published five books already.
Wow.
Chill, bruh.
Come on. Chill, you're doing bruh. Too much, Winnie.
You're making us look bad, bruh. It's like Dickens firing off.
just right.
Firing off novels.
Novels after novels, week after week.
Yeah. That same year, Winston Churchill joined the House Commons as a conservative, but 4 years later, he crossed over to being a liberal.
So he switched teams.
He switched teams, as we do. You know, I did that in college. I remember I was going to vote with my roommate, and mm-hmm. she was voting for one of the candidates, and I was voting for the other candidate. And so we're like, we should just skip it and go get drugs.
Oh, because you guys didn't want to beef.
No, it wasn't beef. We thought we canceled each other out.
Oh, you're... Ugh.
We didn't understand how the voting system worked.
I love it. I love
so
these
stories.
So I was
like, I think we should just go get drunk.
And that's what you did.
So that's what we did.
So that was president for president?
President.
Oh, okay.
And then Obama won.
Oh, wait.
Obama for mankind. I was just listening to that song the other day. My president is black.
My president is black. My Lambo's blue. Yeah, and I'll be goddamn if my rims ain't too. Shout out to Young Jeezy. Yeah, okay. My first time I voted for president was the year George Bush Jr. won. That was the first time.
Wow.
And I was in Florida, in Tallahassee.
Damn, with the recount.
When all that shit was happening.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
That shit was nuts, man. We had reporters have to stay at our apartment because the Florida State game was that same weekend. And all the hotels were booked, so they had to kick all the news people out. So they were looking for like places to
kick people out of a hotel.
Yeah, the rooms are already booked.
Oh, yeah. My first one that I voted in, because I didn't vote in that election.
Oh, so you had to wait for the next one.
And then I didn't vote in that one. I was busy.
You were busy, man.
I was busy.
I vote every time.
I'm apolitical, so yeah,
that's good.
I just hang out and let everyone else with more brains figure out what's going on with us. Yeah. I'm like, you got it. Okay. So his work on behalf of progressive social reforms, such as an 8-hour workday, a government mandated minimum wage.
An 8-hour workday. So that means they were working longer days.
Yeah. A state run labor exchange for unemployed workers and system of public health insurance infuriated his conservative colleagues, as it does, who complained that this new Churchill was a traitor to his class because he's a rich boy.
Yeah. So he's like, yo,
rich boy.
You rich boy. What you doing, boy?
So in 1911, Churchill turned his attention away from domestic politics when he became the first Lord of the Admiralty, akin to the Secretary of the Navy in the United States.
So he became Lord Churchill.
Lord Farquaad. Okay. Noting that Germany was growing more and more bellicose. I don't know what that word means. Do we know what bellicose? B-E-L-L-I-C-O-S-E.
Bellicose.
Well, it's Hitler, so he's not getting... It's Hitler's Germany, so he's not chilling out. It's not comatose.
Bellicose.
Bellicose means demonstrating aggression. All right, yeah, they're ready to fucking roll.
They're ready to fight.
Germany's ready to fucking go.
They're hot.
Yeah.
They're boiling. They're about to pop.
Churchill began to prepare Great Britain for war. He established the Royal Naval Air Service, modernized the British fleet, and helped invent one of the earliest tanks. Okay, so this guy's
doing shit, man. He's getting shit done, bro.
And like, he's not even 30 yet. Yeah. Can you imagine? I'm like barely getting my life together now. I will not have done.
He's an over fucking achiever.
Yeah, he needs to chill.
Yeah.
Maybe his drinking career starts soon and then he mellows out, but I bet it's already going.
Because there was definitely no prohibition in England.
England. They start drinking when they're like 10.
Yeah.
Churchill proposed a military campaign that soon dissolved into disaster. In 1915, invasion of the, I don't know this word, Gallipoli Peninsula.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
You did.
After 9 months and 250,000 casualties.
That's a lot of people dying.
That's a lot. The Allies withdrew in disgrace.
People just be just dying back in the day. Like, just like.
Straight
just dying.
Dying.
In a regular city.
But
like,
I think people are really dying in that war in Russia and Ukraine, too, right now. We're just giving Ukraine all of our money.
250,000 people?
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of fucking people.
That's all of my Instagram followers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They just did. And if 250 of your Instagram followers die, then you just die too. You're just like, I got to get rid of
I cease to exist after that. Okay, so after this little debacle, after this snafu.
The snafu.
We're going to call it a snafu. Quarter million people died, and it's a snafu.
This is a little snafu.
He left the Admiralty. So during the 19...
19- because he fucked up. He realized he fucked up.
He took a big swing.
Yeah.
He took a big swing and he missed. And that happens sometimes to the best of us.
Shoot or shoot, bro.
Shooter's fucking shoot.
And shooter shot 250,000 people.
The shooter was on the other side.
Killing fools.
I mean, I wonder if we got one. You know what I mean?
I'm sure.
I don't know. I just said we are British. Yeah. Well, I am. My grandma's from England.
So. But I mean, yeah. So you can say we.
Yeah. During the 1920s, she came over during the Second War. Is that crazy? That's just so crazy. I mean, she's dead now, but like it was so close. Like all the fucked up shit in the world is just
not that far
right
ago,
there. We can high five with people that were like, yeah, that's wild.
Insane.
Crazy. Okay, so during the 1920s and 1930s, Churchill bounced from government job to government job. And in 1924, he rejoined the Conservatives.
Oh, so he was like, yo.
Babies got back.
I'm coming back,
he's
baby.
Like, I'm coming home. I'm the coming Diddy home. Song.
The roosters will come
Tell
to roost.
Tell the world that I'm coming home.
Yeah.
Especially, speaking of Diddy, sorry to go off on a tangent here. But you know that song that he, I'll Be Missing You or whatever?
Yes.
I just heard this the other day. He didn't get permission to sample that track.
Oh, from the police.
From the police. Yeah. And he pays them $2,000 a day.
Yeah, something crazy like that.
Is that crazy?
That's insane.
$2,000 a day. That is probably the most lucrative business deal the police ever made.
Yeah.
Is that lawsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might be more because I feel like Sting was on something. He goes, yeah, I think it's more than that, mate.
I was watching Sting. Sting said $2,000 a day. Oh. Yeah.
Forever,
for the rest of time.
That's how cocky P. Diddy is. Like,
he's like, I got it.
You didn't think anybody would notice?
Right.
That you stole from the police.
Right.
But
he made that song way more iconic.
It pretty much made him a billionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he killed Biggie.
Yeah. okay. Not a fact.
This whole episode is an asterisk. So.
Yeah, this whole episode. We can say whatever we want because none of it's true. Okay, so anyway, quarter million people are dead, and he's like, oopsie daisy, I'm a conservative again.
My bad.
So the Nazis come to power in 1933. They're here, knock, knock, gang, gang.
Boom.
Boom. All right, Churchill spent a great deal of time warning his countrymen, about the perils of the German nationalism, but Britons were very weary of war and reluctant to get involved with international affairs.
Because it wasn't their problem.
Yeah, they're like, this is not our shit. So the British government ignored Churchill's warnings.
So he was like, yo, they coming.
Yeah.
And they were like, nah, we're good, love.
We're good, mate. Pip.
We'll sort it out.
Yeah. Tea time. In 1938, Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain even signed an agreement giving Germany a chunk of Czechoslovakia, throwing a small state to the wolves. They're like, take the Czech Republic. Fuck them.
Yeah, we don't need them.
Churchill scolded in exchange for a promise of peace. A year later, however, Hitler broke his promise and invaded Poland.
Whoa,
shocking.
They couldn't trust Hitler.
Whoa, this guy.
Hitler broke his promise?
He broke his pinky swear.
Of all people, I would never guess he would do that.
A year later, however, Britain and France declared war. Chamberlain was pushed out of office and Winston Churchill took his place as prime minister in May of 1940. So Churchill's here to fuck it up.
So he's like, this is my
shit.
Like,
it's time to fuck it up.
So they just appointed him, like, yo, it's your job now.
Yeah, they're like, you called it.
Yeah.
They basically were like, hey, this is your reward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you must have known.
So that's 7 years later.
Yeah.
It took 7 years for them to figure that shit out.
Yeah.
So many people died.
I mean, that's war, though, right?
That is war.
Okay. So he's great at speeches. This is like his thing, his bread and butter. He said, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat, Churchill told the House of Commons in his first speech as prime minister. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I can say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air. Can you imagine just saying that? It is to wage war. That's the hottest fucking thing. If someone said, I'm going to wage war, and they meant it, and they had the power of a military behind them, I'd be like, we're fucking tonight.
I know. And my dick got a little hard. Just reading it.
Okay, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word. It is victory. Victory at all costs. This is the hottest speech I've ever read. Victory in spite of terror. Victory, terror. Yeah, we're fucking scared.
Yeah.
Victory, however long and hard the road may be, for without victory, there is no survival.
You see it? You see what he did there? You see how many times he had victory?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just like to
he's
implant.
Just manifesting.
Plant, yeah.
Yeah, he's like
he's
victory.
He's manifesting. He's manifesting. He's motivating.
He's going to win. He's going to wage war. Fuck bitches.
Yeah. That's what Churchill land, is sea, like, and air.
Land, sea, air. Victory will be mine. Like,
victory. Victory, like, of this. Victory. No, that's like
victory,
fucking
yeah.
Perfect speechwriter right there.
I can answer in one word. It is victory. Victory at all costs. Yeah, he's here to fuck it up.
He's here to fuck shit up, man.
He still needed our help, but
yeah.
He still needed a little.
Without old big stick America coming through.
Yeah. Without fucking D-Day, he really didn't have a chance. But anyway, though the future looked grim, Churchill did all he could to keep British spirits high.
Mm-hmm.
He gave stirring speeches in Parliament and on the radio. He persuaded U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt to provide war supplies, ammunition, guns, tanks, planes to the Allies, a program known as Lend-Lease, before the Americans even entered the war.
Yeah.
Though Churchill was one of the chief architects of the Allied victory, war-weary British voters ousted the Conservatives and their prime minister from office just 2 months after Germany's surrender in 1945.
So they
Germany
kicked them
really
out?
They surrender, did they?
Yeah, they did.
I mean, they got their asses.
Yeah, when you get your ass kicked, you surrender. Yeah.
I wish we saw more surrender in the world today.
Like real surrender?
No, like just surrender in like sports. Like when you're getting your fucking
ass
beat, kicked.
You just you see it in like fighting sports.
Yeah.
They throw a towel in. But like.
Yeah, that's like when the person's brains are on
the
floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like if you're just getting blown out.
Yeah, just like.
Just like, yo, we out. We're out.
It's like 10 to 3, like just at the bottom of the fourth.
And there's always a chance. There's always a chance.
No, there isn't.
There's always a chance.
No. When there's life, there's hope. That's what they say.
Mm hmm.
Okay.
Those conservatives.
Those conservatives. Those pro-lifers. Okay, in 1953, Queen Elizabeth made Winston Churchill. Oh, yeah, they were hanging out.
There, yeah.
A knight of the Order of the Garter. He died in 1965, 1 year after retiring from Parliament. Wait, we're going straight to his death? All right, I guess he's dead now.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes next. It comes, we have our scumbag section next, but we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors. We'll be right back to find out how Winston Churchill may have basically sent a call to voicemail that led to 3 million people dying of famine.
Ooh, may.
And we're back. All right, so here's what you don't know about Winnie Winston.
I feel like I know everything about him, but
I know.
Tell me how he's a scumbag.
I know. I just feel like there's no way he's going to be a scumbag.
He has to
be. I'm going to stand for him. Which, by the way, there is literally an article by BBC entitled The 10 Greatest Controversies of Winston Churchill's Career.
Mm.
It's like Winston's greatest hits. Okay, so in 1937, he told the Palestine Royal Commission, didn't even know that was a thing, I do not admit, for instance, that a great wrong has been done to the Red Indians of America or the Black people of Australia. I do not admit that a wrong has been done to these people by the fact that a stronger race, a higher grade race, a more worldly wise race, to put it that way, has come and taken their place.
Oh, wow. So he's pretty much saying...
Whites are the best. White power.
White power, bro.
Yeah, he's like, white power.
Fuck all those red Indians in America.
But
and
he's
those,
like, also, I'm going to put some pizzazz on it because I'm still a speechwriter.
Yeah.
A wiser, more worldly race.
And the black people of Australia.
But never once did he say that the more worldly, wise race are the whites.
But the
no shit.
British people.
Yeah, no shit.
Because of both of those people. He didn't say the blacks of America because he goes, they don't count anyway.
The black people of Australia.
Yeah, the aboriginals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Churchill certainly believed, we haven't had a Mateen black fact yet.
We haven't had a Mateen black fact.
Well, maybe we'll get one.
Yeah.
Churchill certainly believed in racial hierarchies and don't know this word, and I feel like I should, eugenics?
Eugenics. It's like
a study of how to arrange reproduction within a human population to increase the occurrence of heritable characteristics regarded as desirable. Okay, yeah, that's like those little charts we used to do.
Well, Margaret Sanger too is.
It's like the dominant genes.
No.
It's just, that's what they're saying.
Dominant and recessive. People use it to say how like white people are better than everyone else.
Hot.
So Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, she was a big component of eugenics. So Black History fact. So Planned Parenthood was started to be in poor neighborhoods, like black neighborhoods, to exterminate black people. That was where it started. It's completely different now, and I support it now. Yeah, but that's
exterminating whites.
Yeah. But that's why it started to.
Okay.
Because so they were encouraging black families to abort their babies. So they would go to they wanted to.
I encourage all families to abort their babies.
Oh my God.
I encourage everyone. I am not racially profiling.
You're not a eugenics.
I just bought a hat the other day that says, get your kid away from me.
I know. I saw something you had on the other day.
You saw the one that said, tell your dad I say hi.
Yeah, tell your dad I say hi. You are wild. And this is you tame. This is what's hilarious.
I'm so tame right now.
You are so tame right now. I love it.
So he's a racist. He's a fucking garden variety racist.
Yeah.
Okay. So he believed in hierarchies.
Believed that white people were a superior race.
Says John Charmley, the author of Churchill, The End of Glory. In Churchill's view, white Protestant Christians were top above white Catholics. Okay, so. While Indians were higher than Africans, he adds, Churchill saw himself and Britain as being the winners in a social Darwiners.
From the evolution.
I mean, he obviously doesn't own a fucking mirror and can't see with his own two eyes because the Brits are tragic.
But people don't care,
head
though.
To toe, tragic, thinning hair, jacked teeth, chainsaw teeth.
Hello.
Chainsaw teeth. Guts. Unfit. Well, some of the ugliest people I've ever seen. Have you ever been to England?
No, I was supposed to go during the pandemic, and I was supposed to leave on the March 13th. Remember, because we were in San Francisco.
Oh yeah,
and I was supposed to go to England that next week, and I didn't.
Don't skip it.
I mean,
all the spices that they
they don't
sold,
use them.
The food is trash. The people, they're nice, but they're.
But here's the thing, they get away with a lot of shit. What I tell people about English
they're
people...
They're not winning any hierarchies. No, that's but all
they... We forget how horrible they were historically because they have accents.
Because they have accents and they're beautiful. And I just am like, talk to me all day.
But just talk to me. Don't open your mouth.
What?
You don't want to see their teeth. Anyway. Okay. We're just shitting on British people right now. I love it.
Okay.
They're going to be like, hey,
I'm just
my-
saying that, I mean, Churchill needs to get a grip. Like, he was
No, there's people here in America when they're like these white superior, like people are like white superior.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
the ugliest.
You're missing teeth and shit. Like, come on.
It's my family.
You can't tell me.
They're in my family tree.
You're a superior race and you sunburn.
And
come
they're
on.
In prison. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's my uncle in prison who's going to be there forever. That's like part of a white gang.
Yeah, Aryan race to pure blood.
Yeah. So, big one. Winston might have casually let 3 million people die of a famine.
Just casually. Like.
I still think he was trying to get his numbers up from that quarter mil.
From that quarter mil?
Yeah, he's like, up with people.
You got to get them up, get them down in the ground.
Yeah.
3 million?
3 million. In 1943, India, then still a British possession, experienced a disastrous famine in the northeastern region of Bengal, sparked by the Japanese occupation.
Was it a hunger strike? From Mahatma Gandhi led it.
Comes in. Yeah. Sparked by the Japanese occupation of Burma the year before. At least 3 million people are believed to have died. That's a lot.
Fuck, that's a lot of people.
But you know what? There are too many people here.
Yeah.
And Churchill's actions, or lack thereof, have been the subject of criticism. I mean, that's just a lot of land to cover. It's a lot of ground to cover.
But, I mean,
you got to think running Britain without India, it's got to be tricky.
But India didn't ask them to come in there and fuck them up.
I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying this guy was drinking heavily.
Yeah, but
and
like
he probably was like,
You can't.
If he's racist, this is the call he's going to let. This is what he's going to leave on red.
Yeah, but he did say that Indians are better than black people, so maybe he thought he was going to. But so 1943, so that was 4 years before they became free from India became free from Great Britain.
Wow, you're so smart.
Yeah. It's well, we talked about that with our Gandhi episode.
I told you that I don't retain information. And I meant it.
This episode is about Winston Churchill. Yeah. You remember that? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So 3 million people just died.
Okay. 3 million people died. They are believed to have died. So they died. And Churchill's actions or lack thereof have been subject to criticism.
Because he didn't do enough.
Madhusri Mukherjee, why would you make me say that word, author of Churchill's Secret War, has said that despite refusing to meet India's need for wheat, he continued to insist that it exported rice and fuel for the war effort. Okay, so that's not great. They could have eaten the rice, but they had to send it away to fuel the war.
Yeah, so they're like, yo, we need wheat. They're like, no, we need this rice. We need this oil. Yeah, we need you to shut the fuck up and die. But the thing about it, if they're dying, then there's going to be less people to do your work. So you would think that he would want to keep those people alive.
No.
No.
Because he wanted the exports more than he wanted the people to live.
No, but I'm saying
he wanted the rice.
I know, but if you keep them alive, you'll be able to use them more.
Okay, well, you should be a politician.
I know, I should be.
You're obviously really good at this. The war cabinet ordered the buildup of a stockpile of wheat for feeding European civilians after they had been liberated. So 170,000 tons of Australian wheat bypassed starving India, destined not for consumption even, but storage. Okay, that's not good.
No, yeah. So he's like,
Yeah, he's like, actually put it in a locker room. Put it in a storage.
Don't give it to the people.
How bummed would you be if you were doing storage wars and you opened up the cabinet with just, all the leftover
wheat? Just wheat?
Yeah.
Like, man, I spent $12,000 on wheat.
Yeah. Okay. Churchill even appeared to blame the Indians for the famine, claiming they breed like rabbits. It's one of the worst blots on his record.
So he's like, yo, y'all fuck too much. Y'all need to die.
You eat too much, you fuck too much, and you're not sending me
But we need wheat. Oh, we ain't got no wheat. And then it's just wheat in a locker. Just a wheat locker. Just like, yo, don't give it to them.
Yeah.
They need to die anyway.
Fucking Tom Dog millionaire.
That's fucked up, man.
They're hungry. It clearly is the case that it was difficult for people to get him to take the issue seriously. Churchill viewed it as a distraction, he explains. Preoccupied with battling Germany and Europe, Churchill didn't want to be bothered by it when people raised the issue. I sort of get that. If you're battling the Nazis.
The hierarchy of what he has priorities. To worry about, his priorities. But I mean,
the only problem is the wheat's in a locker.
Yes, it's not even like... It's not even like they don't have it.
Yeah, it's not but a wheat still, shortage.
No. Yeah. He's just like, fuck these people. And he was like, yo, they breed like rabbits anyway. He pretty much said they need to die.
Oh, wait. Here, Gandhi. He hated Gandhi.
Yeah, okay.
He hated Gandhi as a threat to Churchill's vision for the British Empire.
Yeah.
So they did cross paths in a hateful way. Gandhi should not be released on the account of a mere threat of fasting. Hilarious. See, this? I'm on Churchill's side. Gandhi should not be released on the account of a mere threat of fasting, Churchill told the cabinet. We should be rid of a bad man and an enemy of the empire if he died. Yeah, get out of here, Gandhi. Churchill was very much on the far right of British politics over India, says Charmley. Even most conservatives, let alone liberals and labor, Churchill's views on India between 1929 and 1939 were quite abhorrent. Okay.
So he's like, fuck India.
Yeah, fuck India, fuck Gandhi, for sure.
Let that motherfucker starve.
Yeah, he's like, I'll show you a hunger strike.
Let me.
Yeah, he's like, let me. He's like, you want to see how a hunger strike's done?
You
want to
see
it's
hunger?
It's involuntary.
Yeah. Let me kill 3 million people.
Yeah. Came here to book it.
I know. Oh my God.
According to The Guardian, he had.
That was a person. That's personal right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you think you're going to hunger strike?
Yes.
I'm going to show you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's God. Petty. That's petty. According to The Guardian, he had a scandalous affair with Cara Delevingne's great aunt. A hitherto unreleased interview with his key aide confirms that Winston Churchill had a secret affair with a socialite. Who cares? That's what we're all doing. I want to have a secret affair.
With a socialite?
I want to have a secret affair with a socialite. I want to have an unsecret affair with a socialite. That's what we're all trying to do.
You're just trying to have an affair.
I'm just trying to fuck. Yeah. It's summertime and yeah, nobody's calling me. Summertime.
Nobody's calling you or texting you back. If you want, if you're a socialite, just holler at Brittany.
Yeah, if you're a socialite.
She's easy to fuck. She's very easy to fuck.
I'll give out my address.
Yes.
In autumn of 1985, Churchill's former private secretary, Sir John Jock Colville, gave a frank interview to archivists at Churchill College in Cambridge. So he didn't get into Cambridge, but he has a college at Cambridge.
He's an icon.
Who fucking wins now?
He's
yeah.
icon.
That had never been aired until now. It confirms what has long been rumored, that Churchill engaged in an affair with a glamorous aristocrat, Lady Doris Castleross.
Yeah.
It's like a casserole. In the interview, Colville disclosed, now this is a somewhat scandalous story. No, it's not. Therefore, not to be handed out for a great many years. Winston Churchill was not a highly sexed man at all. Shocking. And I don't think...
Can you imagine, like, Winston Churchill's, like, climbing on top of you? Like,
no,
yo,
he
love.
Looks like a bulb.
Oh, love. Like a, oh,
yeah, no.
Oh.
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 Like, spill his scotch on you. And mm-hmm. I don't think that in his 60 or 55 years married life he ever slipped up, except on this one occasion when Lady Churchill was not with him, and by moonlight in the south of France, sounds romantic, he certainly had an affair, a brief affair with Castleross, and as I think she was called, Doris Castleross. Yes, that's right. Okay.
Can we see what Doris Castleross looks like? Doris Castleross.
Doris Castleross. She's fucking getting it. Riding around, I'm getting it.
Riding around, I'm getting it. that Winnie Churchill. Okay.
Oh, she's gorge. Of course she is, if she's related to the De Levines.
Very classic looking white woman.
She's pretty. For Churchill?
Yeah, that's a long-ass
name. But those two next to each other, Churchill is a dumpling. So Churchill spent 4 days with Castleross, the great aunt of model Cara Delevingne. During this time, Churchill painted at least two portraits of his lover. He only ever painted one of his wife, Clementine, and they continued to meet at her home back in London. Okay, so he's a little obsessed.
Yeah, he is obsessed.
Why can't I get somebody to paint a picture of me?
They just want to send you dick pics in your DMs. Okay.
My mother had many stories to tell about the affair when they stayed in my aunt's house in Berkeley Square. Doris's niece, Caroline de Levingne, must be a Duff. Why don't we know her?
Look at that.
Oh yeah, see, he's not. Of course, he's painting pictures of her.
Yeah, dude, you ever look at a picture and be like, man, his breath probably smells so bad.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh,
rotting. She had a lot of stories to tell about him, so she's running her fucking mouth. Yep. And of course, if you're fucking Winston Churchill, you're telling everyone.
Yeah, tell everybody.
Yeah, you gotta tell everyone when you're doing something big.
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, when you're doing something big, you gotta let them know.
Put him on a glass.
When Winston was coming to visit her, the staff was all given the day off. This is one of the stories my mother told me. And after that, the next day, Doris confided in my mother about it. They were, as I said, good friends, as well as being sisters-in-law. So yes, it was known that they were having an affair. Okay, whoop-de-doo. Okay, but when war threatened and Churchill's career revived, he ended the relationship. Okay, he still needs to fuck Hitler up first.
Yeah. Wait,
Castleross moved to Venice, had a relationship with a female American millionaire, and then moved to the U.S.
So a little Leslie action.
Yeah,
a little Leslie action.
Turned her out.
Oh,
dog.
My God, man. A little
you know
Leslie.
The dick's trash when you get turned
out.
Oh,
my
right
God.
After.
A little Leslie action in the 40s, man.
Yeah.
Cause a fire, bro.
Yeah. You know the dick's trash when he turns you out. When you go to girls,
you're bad. Yeah.
You're down bad. Your either heart is broken.
Men don't do that.
No, it's not an
option. There's no guys like, man, that girl broke my heart. I want to go suck some dick. Oh my God.
Unless you just were gay the
whole
time.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God. No, but yeah.
Yeah. Then she came back to the UK, Castleross. Armed with one of Churchill's paintings of her, which would help corroborate her claims of an affair. Oh, God, now she's coming for blood. Okay.
She's just
something that had the potential to scandalize society and undermine the prime minister's standing, successfully pressed her former lover into securing her a rare seat on a flight home. Okay. She's like, can I just get a flight out of here?
She's trying to get flued out.
Yeah, she's trying to get flued out. Castleross died at the Dorchester Hotel from an overdose of sleeping tablets shortly after her return to London.
So Winston Churchill killed Castleross.
When her death became known, Lordy Beaverbrook. Who the fuck is Lord Beaverbrook?
That's a great name.
Churchill's Lord. Fixer. Oh, we love a fixer.
He's a fixer. He's a fixer.
Oh, I love fixers.
Yeah.
Fixers fix.
Yeah, he fixed
fixers
it.
Fixers fix. Yeah.
Anytime,
I've had a few crosses over with fixers.
Even anytime a mistress dies of suicide,
fixer
got her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like taking pills or anything. Yeah. Someone fixed Marilyn Monroe too. I don't think she killed herself. I think someone killed her.
That's not a fix then. That's a fucking homicide. So.
Yeah. Well, she was going to say something and they were like, came in.
About FDR?
No, JFK.
Oh.
Not FDR. She's not that old.
I'm getting my.
You're getting your presidents wrong. Yeah. FDR didn't have any issues like that.
That we know of.
Well, no, his wife was more promiscuous than he was.
Really?
Yeah. Eleanor?
She was a whore? Eleanor? No,
I mean, she was a little lesbian action there too.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
She had her lovers come to the White House and stuff.
Scissoring?
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know.
Oh,
well. I don't know shit about shit. It's
you
a,
don't.
It's a miracle
that's,
I'm alive.
That's evident. But.
I don't know how I survived infancy.
Yeah, Eleanor was running the country too when he was like sick and shit.
Oh, and he had polio. Of course, she's lesing out. So anyway, Lord Beaverbrook is the fixer, and I think that needs more attention because that name is so good.
Lord Beaverbrook.
So anyway, she fucking dies. She overdoses. How sad. Like.
Yeah.
Lord Beaverbrook. Let's look at Lord Beaverbrook. Oh, yeah. He looks like he's mob.
Oh,
sure.
He's a mob guy.
Yeah, he's a mobster. They all are.
Yes. Look at
they're
that. Look at
ex-mob.
That one. That top one.
Yeah. They're all ex-mob.
Yes.
The one fixer that I came across in my life was such a mobster.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I think he flashed a gun at me at one point. I was just like, I will not say a word, my guy.
Aiken, first Baron of Beaverbrook.
All right, Baron of Beaverbrook was believed to have retrieved the compromising painting from her brother Dudley. That's gangster. Like someone dies and you show up and you're like, "Where's the picture?
Where's the painting?
Where's the fucking painting?"
Yeah, that's
I don't care about your dead ass sibling.
Because he did it.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
The affair remained buried until the late 1950s when some of Castle Ross's love letters to Churchill were shared with Clementine. She was worried about it for months afterwards, Toy said. Clementine would say to Colville, "I always thought Winston had been faithful." And Colville tried to reassure her by saying, "Many husbands on a moonlit night in the south of France have strayed. It's not a big deal." It's really not. It's really not. Okay.
If you're in the south of France, come
you're
on.
You're in the south of France.
You're in a moonlit
moon,
night.
The moon's out? You don't stand a chance.
If the moon's out, the dick's going to be out, too.
If the moon's out and our charts are aligned, and our charts are lining up,
something's going to get
we
wet.
Yeah. I mean, who really lost? I mean, the girl killed herself, you know?
Well, like, allegedly killed herself.
She did.
She got fixed.
She killed herself. No, she killed herself.
No, she got fixed.
No, she didn't.
She got fixed.
No, she didn't.
Okay.
These aren't, Mateen's facts are not facts.
Dude, if you tell me, oh yeah, she's like, hey, I want to come back to London. Just get me there. And then she gets there and she kills herself. I don't think that's an accident.
Okay, well, you can have your speculations.
I know, that's what I would. That's what I mean.
Okay.
If a mistress kills herself, she didn't kill herself. Right?
Coming from a surviving mistress, I think. I think we're scrappier than you give us credit for.
No, but I'm just saying if you kill yourself, if it's homicide.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
That's what I think. Anyway.
Whatever. Okay.
Andrew
Roberts, a British historian who wrote a book about Churchill, doesn't think the affair story is legit.
He thinks it's fake.
Whatever. Arthur Herman, the author of Gandhi and Churchill, has argued that without Churchill, the famine would have been worse. Once he was fully aware of the famine's extent, Churchill and his cabinet sought every way to alleviate the suffering without undermining the war effort. Herman wrote, "It was a failure of prioritization," says Toy. "It's true that Britain's resources were stretched," he said, "but that's no excuse given to the relatively small effort it would have taken to alleviate the problem." Okay, so these are all just counterarguments to basically him not being a scumbag.
But he's a scumbag.
No, he's not. Hold on.
He is.
G as fuck, dude.
Yes, he's still a scumbag.
Okay, fine.
We'll talk about
what
it.
What do you think you are?
I'm a scumbag. That's why I'm here.
I just think that's like a real strong word. But yeah, I guess he is. I mean, you're right. Okay, you're right. Am I a bad person?
What does your chart say?
Yeah, my chart says. Okay, according to WinstonChurchill.org, seems legit.
Yeah.
When the War Cabinet became fully aware of the extent of the famine, it agreed to send 200,000 tons of grain to India by the end of the year. Far from seeking to starve India, Churchill and his cabinet sought every way to alleviate the suffering without undermining the war effort. Okay, so there's just basically like, we don't know what
he said.
Yeah.
We do know that 3 million people died.
And Winston was accused. Died. Yeah, people died. There might be a little blood on his hands.
Yeah, a little bit.
Might not be all of it.
Yeah,
but so.
Yeah.
Winston was accused of being anti-Islam, but it was recently revealed that Churchill was sufficiently fascinated with Islam for his family to be concerned at one point that he might convert.
That would have been a story.
That would have been crazy. And in 1940, his cabinet set aside $100,000 for the construction of a mosque in London in recognition of the Indian Muslims who fought for the British Empire. He later told the House of Commons, many of our friends in Muslim countries all over the East have already expressed great appreciation for this gift. Okay, so he's a little wishy-washy in the same way that he went
let's kill the Kurds.
Yeah, he's like conservative, liberal, conservative. He's like racist, not racist, racist. You know what I mean? He's like a wishy-washy person.
Yeah.
Churchy Wurchy was basically, he was accused of being a white supremacist.
Yes.
But he might have been a white supremacist.
No, he definitely was. Yeah. He said.
But not a mean one.
He's like a chill white supremacist.
Well, he's like my dad. You know what I mean? Like, he'd rather not. My dad argues that he's not racist because he has a black guy come wash his windows and he calls him Dark Jimmy.
Dark
and
Jimmy. Like, oh
who
my
gave
God.
Him that nickname.
He could just be Jimmy.
Because it sounds racist.
He could just be Jimmy.
He says that's what he calls himself. And I'm like, I guarantee.
Oh my God.
He does not. I can't
wait to meet your dad.
But the thing is, he's going to love you. You guys are going to get along.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he'll probably say the end. And I won't know what to do. I'll fall apart. Okay, Churchill's views on race were incomparable to Hitler's murderous interpretation of racial hierarchy. Although Churchill did think that white people were superior, that didn't mean he necessarily thought it was okay to treat non-white people in an inhumane way. He didn't necessarily think.
I mean... Like, if we're going to kill him, don't gas him. Just shoot him in the head.
Right. He said, okay, even in regards to using gas on the tribes of Kurds and Afghans, Churchill's 1919 memo said, the moral effect should be so good that the loss of life should be reduced to a minimum. It is not necessary to use only the most deadly gases. Gas can be used, which cause great inconvenience. It would spread a lively terror and yet would leave no serious permanent effect on most of those affected.
Okay. Like, we don't want to kill them. Let's just gas them.
Yeah, let's just make them so weak. Eyes, like, you know, when there's a gas leak in the house.
Yeah.
Your eyes start running and you can get lethargic.
Let's just give them gas so they just shit themselves. Yeah. You know.
So that their innards bleed.
Ugh, this is all bad.
All right, Mateen, here we go. Scumbag score, let's do it.
Oh, Winnie Churchill.
Winnie Church.
I mean, I'm not surprised because of the time and who he was. And he's a white man in power in the early 1900s. So I'm 3 million people is a lot of people to die. So in that last part, we was like, oh, yeah, we can kill him, but we're not going to. Don't kill him like that. I'm going to go 85.
Wow.
I'm going to 85.
That's high.
Yeah. 85.
Okay.
Because he's British. Fuck.
You fucking hate the Brits.
I mean, I have calls.
I just think he did so much. He was gangster as fuck. He gave a great speech.
Gave a great speech.
Said we're fucking gonna wage
victory,
war.
Victory.
He's definitely racist.
Yes.
Not ideal. I don't care about his affair. I think that's stupid. If he killed the girl, that's different.
Yeah, I think he killed her.
Yeah, I think that would make it higher for me. I'm going to go, let me go 68 on him.
68. Oh, okay.
I honestly want to go lower because I fucking stan him.
You still stan him?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And what? I don't know if I'm a bad person.
I mean, I know that you are. But I love you for it.
Listen, I just think... People just stopped being racist.
Yeah,
you know?
People are still racist. They're
I know,
more
but
awkwardly,
like they just,
outwardly.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're doing it indoors.
Yeah,
now.
They're doing it indoors and like
they're not,
and
doing
not
it
calling
outside.
In Jamals for job interviews.
Yeah.
But I mean, our skills are a little different.
Yeah, obviously, because we're a little different. We're British, and you're black.
Yeah, and I'm black.
I'm Winston, and you're the dead person.
Yeah, that he killed. Yeah. At least I'm not Australian black. He's like, fuck them.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a lot of good.
Yeah.
But I mean, three million people is a lot of people, man. That's a lot of people.
That's so many people. And like, the fact that 6 million Jews died in the war. We didn't even talk about the fact 3 million
and he could have just like gave them food,
just sent them wheat. But there are some accounts are saying that he did. So it's like a little.
The quotes about him saying that they fuck like rabbits.
Well, and him saying fuck Gandhi. I love that he said fuck Gandhi.
That was funny. He was like, I don't care if he doesn't eat. That's not going to release
that
him.
That makes me really happy. That he's like, I'll show you a hunger strike. Yeah. Like that does.
I think that's what it was.
Gang shit. And I like the fact that he has a mobster fixer.
Yeah, he does have a fixer.
I really like this guy. Yeah. I got to say.
You're standing Winston Churchill. I mean, he did a lot of good. He's a very prominent figure in the world.
He's one of those guys I would love to like. You know that like dead or alive, who could you fucking
sit down and have a meal with?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he would sit down with me, but I was like, what's this? What is Dark Mateen doing here?
He would kill
He's
me.
Cleaning the windows.
Yeah. My turkey that I was eating would be filled with sleeping pills. Exactly. And I'd be dead afterwards. Yeah. But all right, yeah. So we are all scumbags.
We're all
and
scumbags.
I just feel like you're acting like you're just holier than
I'm
thou.
Not acting like I'm holier than thou. I mean, I'm not a supremacist.
Because you can't be.
I mean, I could be.
Not a white supremacist.
Not a white supremacist, no.
Like Dave Chappelle.
No, I think in some areas people are better than other people. I mean, I agree to that, certain things, but like, I'm not one to say one group of people is better than another group of people. But no, I don't know. What was I saying?
You were talking about how you weren't a white supremacist.
I'm not a white supremacist. I'm not a black supremacist.
Not a supremacist.
I'm not a supremacist.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we've all had a crazy night in the south of France. Am I right?
Yeah, when the moon is out.
When the moon is out
in the south of France, the dick is out.
If I could find anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I could be in Compton.
Yes.
With no moon. Just a flashlight on a phone.
It's like, it is.
I'm in heat. That's what I'm saying. Yes. All right. Call to action for our fans. Do you think old Winston seriously had the game to get with a cool socialite in the moonlight and the south? Absolutely.
Yes.
He was running in country.
He's a man of power.
Was impressed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, fans, what do you guys think?
Fans, what do you think? Do you think Winnie was slanging D?
Or it was all make-believe.
So that is our show today. If you're enjoying Scumbags of History, prove you're not a scumbag and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you're listening. And subscribe now for our future episodes. I'm Brittany Schmidt.
And I'm Mateen Stewart.
See you next time, scumbags.
Peace. Hey, listeners, Mateen here. Brittany and I just want to say thank you guys for listening to our podcast. It means so much to us. We want to continue to be able to make the show great for you. And an excellent way for us to do that is to make sure that you tell us more about you, who you are, and what you like. There's a survey link in the show notes. If you can fill that out, it would help us continue making the show as great as it can be for you. Thank you. See you later, scumbags.
Someone stands frozen, their hearts pounding. Sweat pours down their face as they gasp for air. They struggle to get out words, but it's of no use. They are dying. Dying on stage in front of hundreds of people. A comedian's life is not all laughs. Sometimes there is silence, dead silence. I'm comedian Jeff Charlebois, and with my co-host Golly Krupp, we interview comedians who have returned from beyond the grave to give us their worst bombing experiences on stage and how they rose from the ashes to have a successful comedy career. You may laugh at them, you may even feel for them, but most of all, you'll thank your lucky stars that it wasn't you up on that stage. As they recount the bombing, you'll explode with laughter. So join me on this unique podcast called The Night I Died from Voyage Media. anywhere you listen to podcasts.